Reading to you from the 10th chapter of Luke and the 20th verse. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the heaven. Amen, amen, and amen. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Oh, beloved, pray for my wife and I next Sunday as we have those two services in the prison. I'm so excited. Oh, I tell you, friends, I wished I was about 15 years old. I would have a little more time. Well, anyway, doesn't make any difference. I just want you to pray for our health, too. We're feeling a little better. My wife's feeling a lot better, and I'm so grateful for that. Well, listen, why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee or maybe a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn to me with the book of Philippians, and let's look at the first chapter and the 6th verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We've labeled this good work. Oh, my dear friends, if you're down in the dumps tonight and kind of feel sad and lonely, do you want to get a blessing? Okay, let's go back to the day that we were saved, shall we? Let's go back to that day. Oh, my stars in the morning. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. Do you remember when you were born again? Or have you been born again? That's the important question. And if you haven't been born again, would you like to be born again? You say, well, I don't know. And anyway, I don't think a person can know. Oh, absolutely wrong you are. This is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. That's what it says. Well, the Christian life is more than getting religion. I remember the day I was saved. My little kiddies were down on the beach playing, and we had about 800 foot of sea land there where the kids can play in the ocean. And when they got home, their dad was as sober. That was me. I was as sober as a judge, reading my Bible and just sober and happy. And they said to the mama, Mama, what's wrong with Daddy? And she said, oh, boys, your daddy got religion. Oh, no, I didn't get religion. I got saved by the precious, precious blood of Jesus. Oh, I just get goosebumps when I think about that. See, baptism and church membership, they cannot save. And that's one of the big problems we have at many churches today. Some churches will tell you that you have to repent, invite Christ in your heart. But then, before that day's over, you got to get in the water and get baptized. Well, that's not true. No, baptism is an open door to show the world that they've accepted Christ. It depicts the death, burial, resurrection. That's why sprinkling and pouring of water over your head does not depict the death, burial, resurrection. You are buried with him and rise to walk in the newness of life. How important is baptism? Very important. Why? Because the Bible said that we, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, religious ceremonies and pronouncements cannot save. Well, what has God done in your life? Let's think about it. What has he really done in your life? Think about it now. Think. God's work in you had a beginning. He said, he who hath begun a good work in you. You have not always been a Christian. You know, one time, anyway, I heard her testimony. She passed away a few years ago. She wanted to paint it up with mask hair and all that stuff. She said, I've always been a Christian. Beloved, that is not true. There has to be a beginning, a day when you recognize the fact, the Holy Spirit convicts you, that you are a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, then, and recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Now, friends, I know people who actually have tried to circumvent Jesus to get to the Father. You can't do it. You've got to come through Jesus. That was God's only begotten Son, the only Son he ever had. And he sent him to this earth to walk with us for over 30 years. And then they took him out and crucified him on a cruel Roman cross. But they never was able to hold him in a grave. No. Even so, you have been the beneficiary of God's blessing. Now, you know this to be true. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We are all surrounded by God's handiwork and wonders. I remember when I was a director of the mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota, we were having floods. And this girl from the college called me. She said, Preacher, it's been raining for 40-some days. Do you think that God will destroy the earth by floods again? I said, no. Well, how do you know? I said, you ever seen the rainbow? Well, sure. I said, that's God's promise that he would never destroy the world again by water. Why did God have to destroy the world? Because of sin. Beloved, let me tell you what. We're living in a terrible, terrible, terrible sinful world tonight. All you got to do is go down and go to jail with me and my wife, and you can see the results of sin. See, sin is rebellion against God. Now, whether you know it or not, I didn't. If someone had come up to me when I was an alcoholic and said, Cecil, do you hate God? Absolutely not. Do you believe in God? I absolutely do. But I was a head believer. You know, there's a good possibility, dear friend, that even tonight you might be a head believer. You believe in your head all the things about Jesus, born in a manger, went to the cross, buried him in the tomb. But did you know the devils believe that and tremble? Believers have had a special work of God in them. Now, a work of God's Spirit has brought conviction of sin. What if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would never know we were sinners. I know people, good people, wonderful people, that truly, honestly believe that by keeping of the law, they're going to go to heaven. Law keepers are not going to go to heaven unless they've been born again. There's no justification by the law. The law showed us where we stood in sin. A work of God that enabled them to understand the gospel. Now, when I went to Tom Baird's home that morning, and he started telling me about Nicodemus, well, I didn't understand that. And I told him so. I said, Preacher, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, he said, Nicodemus didn't either. He was a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin, a rich man, religious man. But he was lost because he hadn't met Jesus. But a work of God had that wrought them to faith in Christ. Now, I didn't understand it, nor did Nicodemus. But when the Holy Spirit of God began to reveal to my heart that this was true, I've told you before, I did not believe that God would send his son to die for a no good drunk. That's the way I felt. But he told me that God really loved me. Now, you might be a murderer tonight, a whoremonger, a homosexual, a lesbian, an alcoholic, drug addict. Well, God does not love your sins, but he loves you as a sinner. Has there been a beginning in your life? Can you go back to a time when you repented of your sins? Well, the new birth is absolutely necessary to enter to heaven. Let me read to you John, the 3rd chapter, 1-5. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou hast done except God be with him. Now, Jesus looked right into old Nicodemus' heart. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? How ridiculous, how stupid a question. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, you see, Reverend Tom Barrett explained this to me the morning I was saved and said, and I said, Preacher, I don't understand what this is saying. He said, Cecil, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Why, I was still lost in my sin. You know, beloved, whenever you're born again, he takes out the heart of stone and puts in there a heart of flesh. Now, I don't completely understand all that, and I don't know how that works, but I know it does work, because I used to hate the things of God in spite of it. I used the Lord's name in vain, every other word, filthy talking against God. But now, after I've invited Christ into my heart, immediately the things that I used to love now I now hate. The things I used to hate, I did now love. God's work in you is a good work. A good work in you. Some people are afraid to let God work in them. They fear that he might embarrass them. They fear that he might take something away from them. They fear that they might become religious fanatics. Beloved, you can't be fanatical over Jesus. The only way you can be fanatical is get off the track and start misquoting the scriptures. And there's a lot of that going on today. You know what, friends? I'm going to tell you a little story. I knew a pastor in Bellingham, Washington. He was a Nazarene. One of the nicest brothers I ever met, you know. Well, he had a photographic memory. And he almost had memorized the whole New Testament. Now, here's what he'd do. He'd call me and he'd say, Brother Mo, I've got a lost man. I want you to go with me. Go out here to see if we can lead him to Christ. Now, he could quote the scriptures and do all that, but he couldn't draw the net. And I never could figure that out, because he'd forgot more about the Bible than Cecil Moe will ever know. Now, salvation is a good work. Discipleship is a good work. Personal revival is a good work. And God's works in us through three things. First of all, the Bible. Hebrews 4:2. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of what? The heart. Well, he tells us also about his spirit in John 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Well, you know, the first time I heard that, I cried. The second time I heard that, I cried. The third time I heard that, I cried. It was at my sister, my mom, and my dad's funeral. Let not your heart be troubled. My heart wasn't troubled. My heart was broken. Why, God, did you do that? Why'd you take my sister, my mom, and my dad? I never did get over my mom's death. But after I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that made so much sense. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? You can't have a real troubled heart if you know Jesus. Because he gives you peace and joy. Oh, I can't explain it. Don't try to get me to do it, because I can't do it. Now let's look at the circumstances surrounding our lives. Romans 8:28. Now this is a verse of scripture, friend. It's pretty hard to understand. In fact, we don't really want to understand it, but here's what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, it's hard to understand that when you're going through trouble and, you know, heart attacks, cancer operations, sickness of all kinds. But, beloved, the believer will be conformed to Jesus now and reign with him later. Those who love God are, in fact, those who are the called of God. Are you one of the called of God? Maybe tonight, oh, listen to me, dear friend. Maybe tonight is your last opportunity to come to Christ. It tells us in Proverbs 29:1, he who is oft reproved hardeneth his neck, shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. How many times I have told that to men and women in the rescue missions who said no for the last time and God took them out of this world. Oh, I remember this one woman, bless her heart. She was an alcoholic, lost her husband. She had three children. We invited her out to our home Thanksgiving for dinner. While the children were out playing football, my wife and I started talking to this gal, Nita, trying to tell her about Jesus. She sat there with tears in her eyes, but she would not move. She would not move. So one day we were in Portland, and we went to her house to see her. And she pulled out a sermon that her pastor had preached, a very well-known pastor. He made fun of God. He called Jesus an illegitimate child. Oh, yes, he did. And Nita kind of snickered, and I said, Nita, that's no snickering matter. That's blasphemy. Anyway, we left. One day she had to go to the hospital. No one knew what was wrong. But anyway, this friend of mine who knew I knew her and said, Cecil, Nita's in the hospital. I said, I can't come in this week. But I said, this dear pastor, I mean, evangelist friend of mine, not evangelist, chaplain, a real good soul winner, I'll send him over. So I called Brother Tarverstad, and he went over. And he said, well, you know Cecil? Oh, yeah, he's a friend of mine. He's a pastor of a church. And he said, what's wrong with you, Nita? I said, I don't know, but I'm not a bit concerned. Those doctors are smart. They know what's wrong with me. Well, he talked for about a half an hour, and finally he said, Anita, I have to leave. Would you mind if I would bow and have a word of prayer with him? She said, of course not. And so she did. He prayed, and when he opened his eyes, Nita was gone. Dead. Gone. Kaput. Oh, boy. He that hardened his neck after being oft reproved shall be destroyed, and suddenly without remedy. She said no for the last time. Well, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not through with us yet. The work of God is a permanent work. And then the goal of God's work is to make you more like Jesus, make me more like Jesus. What does God need to do in you to accomplish his purpose? Number one, get saved. And the other one is that he will call you, and in that order. Listen, I'm on to ask you, do you recognize God's work in you and cooperate with him? Let me ask you, would you respond to God's work in you tonight? Would you say, Lord, I'm not much, but here I am. I'm selling out tonight. Some of you tonight are backslidden. Some of you are cold and indifferent. You know that you're not living your life right, and you feel badly, but you don't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You bow your head and you say, God, I'm a mess. He wants to hear that from you. He certainly does. But most of all, friend, if you don't know where you're going tonight, I can tell you where you're going. You're going to a devil's hell. Now, that's what the Bible says. I didn't say that's what the book says. You don't want to go to hell. You're too smart for that. There is a burning hell, but there's a wonderful heaven. So if you'd like to put your trust in Jesus tonight, I want you to bow your head and be right down. And oh, please don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. And Lord God, I'm opening my heart right now and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd prayed that prayer, I want you to call me at 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't go where you, don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you... Oh, please call me tonight. This well might be the last time that God's Holy Spirit will tug at your heart. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, precious friends, for listening. Oh, I know. Where'd you learn to preach? Well, I never did learn to preach. But, dear friends, I'm not here to make a name for myself. I'm here to tell you you can go to heaven if you want to. If you'll repent and accept Jesus, you can go to heaven. And he'll seal it till the day of redemption. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what? He'll cast your sins into a sea of forgetfulness, never, never, never to be remembered again. Oh, what an opportunity. Please pray for my wife and I next Sunday as we go to prison. We have two services. Oh, I've led a lot of those men to Christ. And it's a wonderful joy to go back and share with them. and hear what they've got to say about Jesus. Well, friend, and do pray for Gene and I's health. Like I say, I'm not feeling as good as I'd like to, but Gene's feeling pretty good. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Oh, keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.